Good morning. Welcome to our live talk program. This is Lloyd Grubb here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our live talk program covering current events on this year, Thursday morning, Rise and Shine and give God the glory. This morning, I'm looking at a topic, cry out for deliverance when dealing with a predatory mindset. So when dealing with a predatory mindset, it's important to cry out for deliverance. So welcome again, hopefully at a blessed night rest and ready to take on the challenges of today. Let us pray. Father, who art in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for your word, for the guidance that you give us and the understanding you give us, dear Lord, that we might know, dear Lord, what is happening around us and that we might be able to have the insights and the foresight. May you bless us, we pray, as we study together for Christ's sake. Amen. So I'm looking at current events here. I'm looking at a topic, crying out for deliverance when dealing with a predatory mindset. So I'm going to be talking about this idea here of a mindset that is predatory and just destructive. And that when you're in the grips of dealing with this situation, it's important for you to cry out. My theme for this week is often the children of Israel got themselves into an oppressive situation. They would cry out, then God would deliver them. A factor in deliverance from oppression is to cry out. Are you crying out for deliverance or are you good? And so one has to realize that when you're in a bad situation, that the person who is or the people who are oppressing you, they have a mindset that they don't see anything wrong with it. And so even though you made some bad choices or you got yourself into a situation, because remember, normally when oppression happens, sometimes it goes from generation to generation. So somebody could be born under the oppression and the oppressor has a certain mindset and that mindset is driving their behavior. And so the only thing that can happen in that situation is you cry out for deliverance. And as I'll read in Matthew 7, and you seek deliverance because their mindset is not going to change. And for the most part, it never changed. Situation has to force the deliverance upon them and upon you. They're not going to give it to you freely. And so when you look at the story like of Pharaoh and the children of Israel, they didn't get released from that oppression easily. It was a massive beatdown and to come upon the oppressor because the oppressor had a mindset, and a mindset I would describe as a very predatory mindset. It is not trying to be neighborly, kind, and anything like that. It is just about warmongering and beating up others to take their work and their material possession. So when you're dealing with that type of mindset, just an unnecessarily cruel mindset, one has to know that deliverance is the only option, because it's not going to be, you're not going to go and, you know, get freedom, because the predator is having, it's a sickness that's going on. It's not just a matter of that they want your labor, because as I mentioned on Monday, I think it was, that when you look at the Egyptian story, that the Hebrews were under, the work was not because the Egyptians were hungry. The work were that they were oppressive, and they were doing it not for need. They were doing it because they're just sick in their heads. They just wanted to beat down the Hebrews, and you can read that in the beginning of Exodus. So when you're dealing with that, it's important to get a very clear picture of that. This is what you're up against, and the person is in that situation. Your only effort is to cry out for deliverance and seek deliverance. And here Matthew is going to give you the explanation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. It says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And so everything I'm going to talk about going forward, a pig or a dog would not receive what I'm saying because they don't have the spiritual. I just think they can't. I don't even think it's spiritual insight. But hopefully you'll be able to receive this. It's very important what I'm going to say, because remember, I'm talking about current events. So I'm talking about what's going on with like the COVID, what's going on with the vaccine, and what's going on with the insurrection or protests or whatever you want to call it that happened on the nation's capital. But you have to understand the mindset. And if you don't understand the mindset, it's hard to predict this. And it will catch even security analysts and security leaderships, leaders off guard. But it shouldn't catch us off guard, because we understand the mindset that we're dealing with and its expected behavior. And so it's not, the Lord doesn't talk in the sense of, Christ doesn't talk in the sense of spiritual or not spiritual. It just says, listen, there's some pearls I'm going to drop here. And it's not something, you just have to see it and receive it. and it makes perfect sense, at least in my mind. I'm going to try to communicate it perfectly in the best way I can, at least. So, pearls, we're going to try to drop some. Notice here, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So whatever situation you got yourself in as we've been covering this week, whatever dilemma, whatever mountain is in front of you, it is not just you ask. That means you cry for deliverance. You say, God, deliver me from these predators, this predatory mindset that I live amongst. But it's also that you say, I'm going to seek what to do. And I'm going to have to find, because I need to find. And I need to knock. So there's an active approach that we take in our own deliverance. You know, it's not just like the predators have taught us that the way you go to heaven is just God does everything for you. So they can abuse it and then you do nothing to figure out how to outmaneuver their abuse. I'm telling you, the pearl here, one of the pearls here, you got to know these are predators. They don't know no God. And because they don't know no God and they don't subscribe to Jesus, they don't give their heart to Jesus, they're going to do what they're going to do. So you have to say, God, you do what you always do. You always whip the buttocks of predators and deliver God, your people. Do what you do. Do what you promise us you'll do. Can't tell God to do his job. So you do what you do, right? And that's what you have to understand. You have to be actively praying, actively working, actively trying to figure out what's going on. And when you get what's going on, you realize you got to protect yourself also. So notice here, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks it, receive it. So you got to hold this promise. Say, God, you promised me that you'll give me because I ask. I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking because I've studied the Bible. I've looked at it from left to right. I've studied history. I know the history. I know the past. I see what happened. It's that predatory mindset. And when you're dealing, whether it be an individual or an organization or a country, you have to understand the mindset. The mindset will affect the actions of people. And when you're in the grips of dealing with somebody, you realize this person here is just wicked. You got to take your protection. You got to do what you have to do. You got to pray. You got to say, God, deliver. And I've been in many situations like this, and God does deliver. And he says, seek and you shall find. So seeking is active. We're not in the fallen apostate churches. So we don't in their crazy grace-orientated mindset. We believe that we actively pray, we actively seek, and then last year, and knock and it shall be open. We're looking for doors of escape from these evil doors. Very important. And so when you run into them, it's important. So my main takeaway point for today now is when you deal with a predator, you deal with somebody that's not neighborly and they have a destructive mindset. They're not there to build up. You can quickly figure out a person is unconverted because you start to watch what they do and you notice they're not tending to build up. It's tending to be destructive. And destructive without a cause. And as to be viewed like this as a predator and as predatory, always, unless a drastic change can be demonstrated, not verbally. A predator can never verbalize their change. And it means anything too much. I guess verbalizing, saying, you know, I've seen my rays and whatever. You can't follow that because that's what a predator does. They just talk a lot. You got to see very clear. As Paul, John the Baptist was no idiot. He knew it. He wasn't one of these mainline preachers. He says, listen, I need to see works that correspond with your profession. Else I'm not buying it. And John the Baptist would do something that all the hypocrites I've ever met would never do. John the Baptist didn't even baptize the predatory Pharisees. They were the enemy, the true enemy of the Jews and the Hebrews in the time of Christ. But the people didn't know it. They thought that they were the ministers that were working for their best interest, but they were predators. So this is important for you to note. You will not survive in this life and live a good life or a decent, even Christian life. If you don't learn this, there's people who are, as I said, they're like suckers for being taken in and being abused. You got to wake up and get going. You got to know you're living amongst people who don't know God. And many of them have a predatory mindset. Notice here, Israel would fall prey to internal and external predators who would destroy the weak, the young, the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and strangers. This is something that if you read the Bible, you could think, oh, the Bible only talking about doctrines. And you miss the majority of the Bible. The Bible talk about Israel would fall into sin and the predators didn't have no mercy. And when you're in a difficult situation, a predator just comes around, not to help you, they come around to take advantage of that situation because of their mindset. We're going to talk about that today. Those are the gems I want you to know. You need to know in your personal life, in a state situation, a country situation, what mindset is running the system. And when these mindsets get control of a situation or a country or a state, pillaging happens. There is nothing else that's going on. People say, oh, that's great if you're a predator. If you're just a low-life, wicked person, yeah, it's great. But for those who are weak, the predator mindset eats and destroys. And so when you're dealing with a person, you're like, oh, I see what you're about. You got to start praying. You got to start actively seeking, looking, how am I going to escape out of this situation? Because this person here is sick in their head. And often I've seen this with people who are claiming to be Christian and go to church, but nothing they do is tend to build up, it tend to destroy, and they're always looking for a situation to eat. So the weak, the young, the poor, you think about some of the biggest predators and exist in some of the poorest neighborhoods all across the land. The fatherless, because they're looking for somebody that is weak. They're just little cowards. They're looking for perverts. They're looking for somebody who is weak because they're going to take advantage. You got to see it in the sense of a lion or a tiger. A lot of times you see the lion and tiger, they'll go for the smallest, the youngest. And the older animals have to work hard to protect the young. It's just a predator. So when you see a person talking about certain philosophies, we're going to get in a second, they're predatory in the mindset. They have submitted their self to be worked by the devil. They're not neighborly. They're not trying to help those who are weak. They're trying to, oh, they're weak. And you can see, they're like, oh, that's the opportunity. The widow, so this was a constant problem in Israel. So that tells you, so if there's somebody with a husband, oh, they stay away. But if the husband dropped dead, they'd be like, time to eat. So you got to pray if you're in that situation. You know the predators are there waiting. The stranger, so a person who's a stranger, as a disadvantage. They're in a foreign country and they're needing kindness. But no. God's just wicked. So notice here, when faced with such mindset, cry out for deliverance and be steadfast what you are dealing with. Be steadfast about what you're dealing with. You got to know this is what I'm dealing with. The mindset doesn't change. So this is important. So we are seeking this type of information. We're trying to understand because we want to be able to survive in this life. And if, you're on a predator mindset, then you got to know what you're dealing with. So just some quick thoughts. I'm sure there's better definitions out there, but here are quick thoughts. So some of the things I've noticed when you deal with somebody that's predatory or you deal with a group of people that has this mindset, they're destructive for no reason. So the destructiveness is not for a reason. They might justify it, and I've dealt with people personally who they're just doing something, and whatever they're going to do, their next action always is destructive. And if you kind of corner them on the destructive action, they'll come up with an excuse. They'll say, being destructive for this reason or that reason. And it will throw you off their game, right? So you might not pick it up at first, but you say, okay, you did this. Why you did this? Oh, because of this reason or that reason, or because somebody raped me when I was young, or somebody abused me when I was young. And they'll come up with all kind of stuff. That might be true, but it doesn't explain, but why are you destructive? I understand you were hurt, right, by somebody's destructive behavior. Yes. So why are you destructive? Oh, because you see, there's no answer for it. It's two different discussions. And most people cannot hold two different discussions in their two lobes or parts of their brain. They can only have one discussion because it's connected. But to me, somebody robbed me. Oh, I felt so hurt because I was robbed. So you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go and rob everybody. Why? Why you felt hurt when you were robbed, right? So why are you robbing other people? Oh, you know, because, you know, they hurt me. I was hurt. They touched me where I shouldn't be touched. So now I'm going to touch other people where they shouldn't be touched. And then suddenly you find that all that is not true. So again, no, go seek therapy for your abuse. But you need to learn to stop abusing people. But until they figure it out and overcome their abusive ways, you need to know you're dealing with a predator. I need to try to get away from that person and stay far from them and pray for them from a distance because they're destructive until they find Jesus. Cannot make treaty. And all treaties are a ploy. As long as you understand the mindset and the history of predators, you look at the treaties and any type of agreement that they sign, whether you deal with a person like as a contractor, because I've dealt with that situation in construction, or you deal with a person who's making a social compact, or they're making a free trade agreement, or they're making anything. Understand the mindset is permanently sick, and they don't keep any agreement, any treaty. They have a history of it because they're predatory. The aim is, the treaty is a ploy to rip people off, to rob people, to do whatever, because they do what they do. You know, it's like, say somebody said, well, you're talking about treaty and trade agreement. Listen, just look at it this way. If you're dealing with somebody and he's raped 10 kids down the road and he come up the road and he say, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'll even sign a document. And you need to see something more than that. This person is a sick mind. A treaty doesn't mean anything. They'll say whatever, do whatever to get an opportunity to get access to a child. So you understand what's going on. You protect your child. You protect your own. Not neighborly. So I'll be, oh, why are certain people so lonely and depressed? Because they're just not neighborly. That's the problem. They don't know how to be neighborly. And that's it, because they just have a predator. He's not neighborly. Why is he going to be neighborly? He's just there to eat. And he thinks that he's superior because he's eating everything. You don't see that. No, that's inferiority and barbarism. See, to me, a person eating the weak is not a stronger person, not a weaker person. It's a curlish, devilish pervert who is weak. You know, to me, somebody that is a warrior is a person who's going to go for something similar and destroy it. Right? You bad. You find somebody bigger and badder and even bigger and badder than you, and you take that person out. And you say, man, that's a bad man. But a person that goes after the weak, but they'll say, well, you know, the lion is the king of the jungle. He goes after the weak also. So I can do it. And that makes me something special. But no, that's a predator. That's a pervert. So it's not neighborly. Can't be neighborly. Because it's constantly looking for opportunity to destroy the neighborhood. Perverts, they pervert Christianity. So when you understand the mainline philosophy of a predator, and if the person doesn't drop that, then they pervert Christianity. If you look at history, what happened when this concept, this mindset, Christianity affected this mindset. Those who were true Christians who gave up this predator mindset, they had to flee to the mountains because the predator mindset was all about hunting. So they just hunted the Christians and hunt them like wild animals, because now the Christians are vulnerable and they're just in a mindset where they took over Christianity. So it was Christianity, fake Christianity, going after true Christianity. One was still in the cultural mindset and the other came out of that mindset, and the one hunted the other. So when you understand this, you understand what's really going on. Just the culture never got washed away. Christianity was just like a dressing on a predator. It's like wolf in sheep clothing. Also, as I said before, destroys the weak instead of helping the weak. That's a main idea for predator. you see you're there, you're looking at a child, you'd be like, oh, get them a little play area so they can play and have fun. Or get them a swing set. Or let them enjoy their childhood. They can grow up and keep learning and enjoy life. They don't have to see all the ugliness of life. A predator come around and they say, I need to join the Boy Scout. That's what I need to do. I need to get over the Boy Scout. And you're like, why? Like, they don't need your help. Right? A predator will be like, oh no, I need to get into the priest because I could become a priest. I have access to little boys. Remember when they talk about the priest abuse, they said the catcher realized that a lot of the predators end up becoming priests so they can get access. It wasn't the way you normally think about it. You normally think it is the priest was going after the kids. No, it was a little bit more convoluted. It was the predators who figured out, oh, if I go become a priest, I get coverage because nobody will wonder, why am I not married? And then I have access to all these people and their kids. You see, it's a sick mindset, but it's a different mindset. So why you need to understand this? You need to understand because you need to see sometimes they're thinking a different way than, say, the regular person, so to speak. They're thinking ahead of the game, and they're thinking, I need to get there here so I can get this. So that tells you their mindset is fixed. It's very premeditated. It's not by happenstance. It just catches you off, or you think it's by happenstance. But they're ahead of the game, and so you're behind the eight ball if you live life believing that, you know, you're like Humpty Dumpty or something. You believe like life is just beautiful and it's in a park. Nope, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, and we're dealing with sick minds. Unless the person hard find Jesus, this person will always be thinking wickedness, even saying they're Christians. And so they're ahead of the game. They're looking for praise. And so they're looking for weak. They're looking for gullible. They're looking for naive. And if you're in that situation and you're naive, as I say, you're just in, as I read there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, you know, whatever I'm saying, you're like a dog and a swine. You just can't receive it. But when you understand what I'm saying, you see what I'm saying, you can see they think differently. They're looking for an opening to do their thing. So if you're sitting there and you're watching and you say, wait a minute. So the whole premise of the concept of an open government, they say, well, we kind of open the building kind of so people can have some access. They can see what's going on inside the leading parts of the chambers of say, the government. So you don't feel disconnected and feel like it's a king and a kingdom. And that's the good part. But when you deal with predators, they're looking for opportunity. Because the mindset is there. They're always ready to stomp. So you got to think ahead. You see, it's you almost have to me, if you're insecurity, you have to think like how the criminal thinking. You have to be ahead of the criminal. You have to know this is all the criminal's thinking. Now, a regular person be like, why would you think like that? Because I'm dealing with criminals. Criminals are ahead of the game. They're in that mindset. And another point here that's important is to understand that the concept of the survival of fittest is natural to a predator. It is not a scientific principle, never was and never will be. It's just a principle of a predator mindset. And so when you're in a predator mindset, the principle of the survival of the fittest seems scientific, but it's not scientific because it matches the mind. You know, you go to a person who's just thinking, hey, I'm going to just take advantage of people and abuse people. And then if you read Darwin book, you're like, man, that seems logical. That seems like the way I think. You know, it's not the way we normally think about it. So they're always looking for whatever. So I'm going to read two texts here. In this concept here. I wanted to just throw this concept out. Because when you're in that situation, you got to cry for deliverance. Because as I say, we get into these situations all the time with people like this. And you don't know what to do. Because they're thinking ahead of you. Their thinking is way ahead of you. And they think they're more sophisticated than you. Because their mind is so sick. And because you're in an innocent mind, you're not thinking like them. So they're thinking they're outmaneuvering you. So that's why you have to understand this. And so when you make a move and you're trying to just, oh, probably if I'm kind to the person, probably if I'm this to the person, I'm trying to show them Christian graces. And no, it don't work like that. They think, oh, you're a sucker, you're a fool, you're weak, you're a pushover, you're a doormat. And they're going to mop you up. That's what it is. They love these Christians who talk about, oh, you shouldn't judge, you don't know the heart. You'd be like, no, if a person show you certain signs, they show you certain evidence, they are dangerous. That's reality. Notice here, I'm going to read for you Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 24. Because Israel dealt with internal and external. Notice here. First, I'm going to read the definition of ravening. So the definition of ravening. Ravening, R-A-V-E-N-I-N-G, is in reference to a ferocious wild animal, extremely hungry, hunting for prey. Extremely hungry, hunting for prey. Now, this here is the reality, ravening animal, the animal. But when you deal with a human being, you could be deal with somebody that's a multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire, and is a ravening wolf. It's important for you to know. You could deal with somebody that is absolutely like a guy that is absolutely beautiful, you know, handsome, have money, everything like that, and could get any woman they want. But that's not the mode of operation. The mode of operation is just to go around and abuse women. You're not interested in having a wife. Even if you could find the best wife there is that ever existed, not interested. Is the mode of operation is just ravening. And when you get this, you understand that's one of the development of sin. This is one of the mystery of iniquity. It's one of the sins that humanity, or when the bad behavior that comes out of sin, that people can be like that. That nah, it's not even about making money or about sex or about anything like that. It's about just being in this mindset. So they're not hungry in a sense of they literally stomach is empty. They're hungry in a sense of their desire, and so they're hunting prey, not to satisfy, say their hunger. But it satisfied the hunger for the prey. Right? So it's a ferocious wild animal. Very important for you to understand this. And when you deal with somebody, you know, by God's grace, you really analyze what I'm saying. And, you know, they don't take my word for it. Think about it. They have lost their way. Think about how the judicial system deal with a predator. Or I say a predator, like a pedophile. They act as if the person have no hope. Because what it is, the person is fully given over to this mindset. You know, I'm not talking about like the lower level of pedophilia and stuff like that. You know, some 19-year-old going with a 16 or 17-year-old. And they say, well, you know, it was two teenagers. I'm talking about somebody that's 50 and trying to get with a 12-year-old or 8-year-old. What do they think? They think the person is in a mindset. The judicial system. You go to church, they say, oh, you can't judge and stuff like that. Because they're crazy. But you go to the judicial system, they say, you got to track that person for the rest of their life. It's not about the sex. It's about going after the weak. Their hunger, but their hunger is not because that hunger can't be satisfied. It's because the hunger is to just being destructive. Notice here, Ezekiel 22, verse 24. Son of man, say unto her. Remember now, Israel would often... They made some bad choices, but now they have a predator that is destroying them. And it could be internal or it could be external. Notice here, Son of Man said unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. So this is different from somebody doing sin. You know, you could get hungry and you're so hungry that you eat two plates of food where you would normally eat one. Right? You know, these things happen. We're not trying to excuse it, but we just recognize these things happen. This here is saying it's a conspiracy among in the midst thereof of the prophets. So there's a conspiracy of our prophets, plural, in the midst thereof. Now, this is different. As I say, this is predatory, destructive behavior. This is different from a priest do something wrong, like steal some of the money from the church. This is now the whole priesthood join together in a meeting and say, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to rob everybody. So they're totally different, right? So when you're in that situation, you have to recognize, no, this seemed like something from the higher heads. It seemed planned. And that's when you pray for deliverance, because Israel literally was in the situation. This is literally happening. There's a conspiracy among the in the midst of the prophets, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. What is a ravening? It's extremely hungry and hunting for prey, ferocious wild animals. Imagine the prophets became like wild predator behavior. And if you look what's going on, because somebody said, what's going on? If you look what's going on and you look at the megachurch pastors, they just jumped in because they were for the kill. And they're still for the kill. It's just they don't care about the people. And even notice, no matter what was going on with coronavirus, these prophets and these televangelists and stuff like, they just, this stuff is the money. They don't care that says their members are going to drop dead. Ravening the prey. And it's a conspiracy, he says. This is different, as I say, from a sin. This is a plan. And when you get this, you understand there's trouble in the land. Notice here, our priests have violated my law. So they're lawless. And have profaned my holy things. So they're just sacrilegious. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, which is today we're seen as. And I've hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I'm profane among them. So God himself is like a profanity. Like, I'm profane amongst them. So just imagine they scorn God here. They're profane. When you say something is profane, you say something is like, you know, it's like a curse. It's like you get mad. That's what God is to them. And somebody said, no, Lord, these people talk about Jesus all the time. Really? Do they really talk about him? Or they mention his name? You use him like how they use you. Notice here, our prince, in the midst thereof, is like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. Notice the money. To get dishonest gain. So what you could think, oh, this is just something happened. No, there's nothing unique, as I say. It probably comes in a unique way, but history tends to repeat itself or have a rhythm to it. And that might not be exactly the same, but you can see the earmarks of this. And it's a mindset. And when you're in this mindset, there's trouble. Because you see, it's one thing if somebody do you wrong, it's another thing where a group of people is conspiring because they're predators, they're wolves, they're lions, they're ravening the prey. They don't care about nobody. They're just destructive. So in this thing here, they're shedding blood, they're destroying soul, and they get dishonest gain. People believe that these texts are spiritual. Literally, in Israel, the prophets and the priests were, and the princes here, her princes, princes would be like the Congress people, the senators and stuff like that. There is a plan amongst them. Their purpose. A wolf, you know how wolves hunt? They hunt in packs. Right? They eat in packs. So you down, all of them pile on and they eat you. They're not about the Constitution. They're not about what is the law and the justice. They're about eating for money. These guys, when they finish, they become multimillionaires. It's about the money. So it's important for you to understand that. So notice there, they shed innocent blood and destroy gay. Her prophets, again, have daubed, verse 28, have daubed them with untempered mortar, seen vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord, when the Lord had not spoken. So the prophet backs up the princes. He backs up the people or confuses the people. So because remember, all of what we're seeing going on in the current state in America right now, the pastors back it up. Because what is this so fascinating to me is that imagine if you look online, you can see videos where so many pastors have made prophecy and saying God says. So if you're following that prophet or that megachurch pastor or whatever that person is, and this person is telling you this is what God says, and reality is going opposite to what God says, you get violent. You get dangerous. And how did the security system didn't see this and know that trouble is coming? Because if you listen to a pastor and they get in the spirit, quote unquote spirit, and they're telling you that this is what God says, but they're really about the money because it's about destroying literal souls. They're piling up bodies in morgues right now. And these pastors couldn't care less because all they're worried about is the money. And as it says here, the prophets come along. Now the princes are making the bad choices and killing people because the princes, for the most part, control the civil part of the government. But the prophets now in verse 28 come behind them and start to prophesy, daub it with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies. You can go online, man, and it blows the mind the amount of prophecy that has gone wrong in the last 4 years. But then you start thinking, I said, wait a minute, these people have millions of people following them. And that they were divining lies to destroy the prey. And who is the prey? Come on now. Who is the prey? The prey is the people. So they're divining lies. And the people believe it. So if you believe that this prophet was true, and the person that the prophet says is going to be the next president for the 4 years is not that person, you want to kill somebody. Somebody need to pay for this because this must be the war act of the devil. This must be some of these devil cults that is really running the country. You'll be very confused. If your prophet says that you don't have to wear no mask and you don't have to take no herbs or no supplement because God's hand and favor is upon you, and you're not in a hospital, can't breathe, and you're hooked up to all kind of machinery, you must be very confused. Because you say, my prophet told me that I'm blessed. God's hand is upon me. This feel like God is not upon me to kill me. But why? Because people don't read the Bible. And people can be very gullible. And they don't know that their prophets have daubed untempered mortar. What they're putting up there is not going to hold. Not going to hold. Seeing vanity and divining lies. They're lying to the people. And the people believe in hook, line, and sinker. And notice here, they have them massive following. Thus says the Lord when he had spoken, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. Because if I look at you and you say to me, Lloyd, this has been the greatest 4 years in American history. And I'm saying, well, how? And you say, it's just been great. It must be that you're a crook. Because I don't see how. So where is the greatness? But here the Bible says the people have used oppression. Oh, greatness for oppress other people. Oh yes, because we were locking them up in cages and we were breaking all the trade treaties and do unfair trade so that we can make more money. Ah. So it's not about greatness in the sense of working hard and getting manufacturing going. It's greatness in the sense of oppression. Come on now. Come on. What was going on that was so great? Oppression. Forced other country to get us the money. So we don't have to work. Because what happened? We are predators. We don't make money by working. We make money by enslaving people and doing Jim Crow and doing wars and robbing people. Because that's our mindset. And we don't have to work. You're there working hard. I'm just come over there and rob you. Why do I don't need to worry about that. But I need protection. Notice here, and has vexed the poor and needy. What has happened in the last so many years? Poor and needy has been vexed. Somebody said, but some of the people are talking about rah, rah, rah. four more years. They're poor and needy, but that's the point. They're duped by their prophets. And they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Wrongfully. So you can say, well, the Constitution, but you can oppress the stranger wrongfully. That's what has happened. But yet, we read this, and we can forget for a second, which I will remind you here, that the end result of all these oppressors was death and destruction. Because that's why Ezekiel was preaching. Ezekiel was trying to call everybody to repentance because the beatdown was getting worse. It wasn't that he was preaching and the beatdown wasn't already there. The beatdown was happening. But it was already, he was trying to pull them back. So remember, yesterday I covered about the vaccine. And if you look more at what it is, because I'm not going to have enough time to deal with that, that the steal that happened in the last how many years, there's a massive theft that happened last year. And most of these people, they're there, they don't even know. Billions of dollars worth of theft were stolen for unproven, not medicine, but technology, because that's not even technology. These vaccines are not medicine. They're technology, genetically engineered stuff going inside of people's body. And yet, billions of dollars that was never done properly. That was a massive theft. But they're worried about the theft, the steal. They've lost their minds. And they not lost their minds. They're deceived by their prophets, by the Paula White and the various different prosperity gospel preachers. And you can see them online. Divining lies, but they're divining for money. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20, Christ here says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So somebody said, well, how am I going to know a person is a false prophet? Notice what I say here. They tend to be just consistently destructive. You know, Christian, I've heard people say this over and over again, that, you know, the truth and error can be so close. Never. The only way you can think truth and error is so close is because you don't understand truth. That's just the reality. There's no other way for me to say it. Never. Deception and falsehood never close. It's close to the untrained eye. It's close to a person who really don't know God and know Jesus. Here Christ gives the simple answer. How do you know? How do you know to catch a con man? How do you know to catch a pervert? Notice, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? There was this thing, a guy called, I think, Roy Moore or something like that, down in Mississippi, Alabama, somewhere there. He was running for some office. And they said, as a grown man, he would always hang around high school and hang around the mall. Right? You know, I don't know why a grown man would hang around those places where there's teenagers and stuff. Like, it is baffling. And I remember when I read that, I thought, that's baffling because I've lived where I've been living, this town, for how many years? 12 years now, I think. And I've driven past the high school how many times, I've never even gone over there once, never. Never thought about it. I mean, I remember reading about Roy Moore. I think, yeah, that's a strange thought because I've never even been. I don't even know how it looks. Never once. I've been one time close to it. There's a park and there's a walking trail, a walking path. And I've been there once in all my 12 years, once. And it's at the back of the school. So I've seen it from the back and I've seen the entrance. I don't know how the thing look. I couldn't tell you how the grounds look. And me and my wife, we paid thousands of dollars over the years for that thing. I don't know. I've never been on the premise. Never thought about it, like going over. Like I said, if I'm seeing a guy going, a grown man, going where there's kids. We going over. So I remember reading it and thinking, huh? Why? And I'm like, and all of a sudden I'm analyzing my actions now. Because I never thought about it until I read that. And I'm like, yeah, I never would think. Why would I go? No, again, if there was something going on there, I knew somebody in the community and the kids were graduating. I'm like, oh, let's go to the graduation. And okay, I get that. But that never ever happened. To tell you the truth. So I just never even seen the grounds. I seen it from a distant just the entrance and the back of it once. And then I'm like, okay. And I didn't even think about it. I just like, yeah, but, and I thought about that. I just want to think about it. You see certain actions and people, oh, you don't know, you don't know. Like, listen to me. People don't do strange things like that. And people do strange things like that. You take no. What we taught when we're young, they'll tell you, they'll say, here's four things. Choose the one that doesn't fit. But when you come to church now, they tell you, ah, don't listen to them. Don't listen to your teachers. They're fake teachers. Fake education. And you say, why? Oh, because they're telling you not to choose. Yeah, you know they're trying to trick you. Tell you, you must select the one that doesn't fit. I'm like, yeah, that's basic education. That thing don't fit right there. Why that thing is like that? That's all you just judging. You don't know the people's heart. I'm like, really? And they teach you to be buffoons. Try to make fools of us. Right? And I'm like, no, I must stick with my teacher. They were right. They told me that there's four things or five things or three things. Pick the one that doesn't fit or pick the things that connect. I think they were right. Notice here, Christ is endorsing that teaching that they taught me as a child. Even, verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And I've known so many Christians will contradict Christ. They're mad if you read this to them. They'll be like, nah. Because you know why? Because they're corrupt. That's why. When you hear a person argue against this text, you know they're corrupt. This text is exposing them because you look at their life, it's pure corruption. And then they're saying they're Christian. You ain't fooling me. Who are you fooling? My teacher taught me that I should pick the one that doesn't fit. And I look at the characteristics of Christians and then there's this odd person over here. Ain't a Christian. Ain't fooling me. All right. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Ain't possible. I've met people that tell me, yeah, it's possible. You can be a fake Christian. You can dupe people into making them believe you're Christianity. And I've told people, listen, I've been a child until now, I ain't never met a person who can fake Christianity. Not possible. And I know people like, what? Not possible. You cannot fake Christianity. The only way a person could fake Christianity is if you looking at them and you don't know what a Christian is. And I'll be challenged on that until the cows come home. I've never met a person who was a fake Christian or dupe anybody into whatever. You know them by the fruit. The only way you don't know is because you don't know them. But if you get to know them a little bit, you'll know this person. You know, this person is a wicked person. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So 19 is a big thing. Just like I said in Ezekiel, you could forget that Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all these different prophets, they're preaching. But it wasn't that they were just preaching. A beatdown was constantly coming. We're not talking about one beatdown. It's just years of decimation and destruction from external foes, the Assyrians and this, you know, the various different people around them, and then the internal foes. And they're there, oh yeah, we're fighting for freedom. Really? You're getting whipped. You're getting routed. You're getting murdered. Suicide, drug overdose, coronavirus, all this thing. Pure death and destruction. Pure death and destruction. So every tree that bring forth not good fruit, they're bringing forth fruit, but not good fruit. They're bringing oppression fruit. They're tearing up all the treaties. Well, this is the history of these people. They don't make treaties with you and keep it. And then they make new trade agreements. God said, I'm going to whip your buttocks. And that's what's happening. So we don't miss that. Notice what is going on. I remember when Donald Trump came to power, all across the world, there's these hardline conservative hate mongers, hate foreigners, Italy, Brazil, all these people, they're electing them. And there's a wave of, we need to stop and we need to be wicked. And God said, I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to punish you all. You're wicked. But you could miss it. You could say, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't catch that. Yeah, really. I'm going to shut the whole system down. Right? So if the prophets now have prophesied that, oh no, Jesus' teaching is wrong, you could bring forth bad fruits and still be blessed because the prophet has declared a blessing. Really? So when, as I say, how many of people right now in the hospital, shock. All across these deceived areas. Oh, it's a hoax. And then they're in the hospital all hooked up and like, what? I thought this was a hoax. It's not real. Right? Because their prophet has prophesied lies to them. And you shall know them by the fruit, because what is the fruit of their teaching? Death and destruction and shock. Because I'm still thinking, what is, like, I saw somebody yesterday in the news, this gentleman, and he's all hooked up, and he's on video, and he's saying, don't make the mistake I made, I didn't think this was real. And I watch it, and he seemed, okay, you know, when you're sick like that, it's double whammy for your brain, because you're both sick, and then you're mentally defeated, because you were deceived by your prophets and by your princes. His princes failed him. Right? So this is what happened. So notice here in Isaiah chapter 59. Let's quickly read Isaiah 59 to grab some more thoughts. So you need to cry out for deliverance when dealing with predator mindset. Some people are just in a predator mindset. And they not going to stop. They just destroy. Notice here Isaiah 59 verse 6. Their webs shall become become garments. So they're spinning a web. Some people, they're constantly spinning. This is what a politician does. And after a while, it become garments. Uh-oh. This is why you have to be afraid of predators. Because after a while, it becomes that what they wear. They just do it naturally. And if you go through life thinking, oh no, I've met people that say, oh no, I don't have conflicts. I don't get into arguments. I just try to live like a little innocent dummy. No, they're going to get whipped. You got to understand, some people, they wear their wickedness like a garment. Notice here, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hand. So when you see certain violent behavior, these people are ungodly. Don't be fooled by them. They're not for the Constitution. None of them are for the Constitution. They are seditious, wicked people. But they act that way. Oh, yeah, I'm for the Constitution. Really? You're for the Constitution? The Constitution says all men are created equal. Why are you so wicked? But again, for the naive, they're like fools. They fool them all the time. Their feet run to evil. Come on now. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. So when you see them, it's like, oh no, they're doing Operation Warp Speed because they want to help everybody not dying. They really care about anybody. They care about money. And that's all that went down. They really care about the Constitution and American flag and America. No, they care about destruction. Don't be fooled by them. They don't know no God. Oh, they talk about religion and God. They care about God. They think about it. They've used, let's keep going. The way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Notice he's saying we, because when you live amongst people, you're affected by the culture. And the culture of a certain mindset. And we all in this together. We grope for the wall like blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at the noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. So you notice a lot of conspiracy theory, a lot of suicide. Because to me, both go together. Because if you believe in a lie, and then when you find out that the lie doesn't work, you're dead. And so many people just said, give me that gun, blow my brains out. Because I'm a fool. And I don't know how to get out of this. That's why I say, listen to the earlier part. You cry out when you're in a lost place. This is a lost state to be in. Notice here it says, yeah, we roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none for salvation, but it is far from us. And this is what's happening in a bad place. For our transgressions, plural, are multiplied before God, before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. but they don't, there's no deliverance. And so that's why I believe when you're in that situation of a lost state, you cry for deliverance because you need it. So much of our society need it because they're in that predatory sick mindset and they can't get out of it. And they don't know what's good for them. Because how you know what's good for you and your end result, and you say, well, it's been great, but all what I've seen happen is a theft. The rich got richer, they got tax break, they got this, they got that, and the poor people got poor, there's more lines for food and all that. And they're saying, we did well, this was great, this was a great run. How? They're deceived. Notice here, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. Why? Because there's a mindset, and when you understand the mindset, you understand why it's so destructive. And you understand, I can look at this from an individual, from a state, as our group, like the priests, the prophets, and I can look at it as a people group who have developed a predatory mindset and predatory culture. And it's destructive, not just to them. Because remember, this predatory mindset became almost hardened like a rock, a petrified wood. And it kept them in the dark ages. They couldn't get out and they held the world in that state. And that's why they held Christianity in that state. Notice Daniel 7 verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it, and it had 10 horns. So notice here, this entity came up. It's different from any other entity that ever lived. It's very predatorial in its description. It just eat and destroy for no reason. Not hungry, not needing to do it. Just a mindset of, we just conquer. So what's that mindset? What is that mindset? That mindset is just like, I need to conquer something. Why? Oh, I just need to do it. That's my mindset. I just conquer. Why? It's a bug in my head. I just need to just overthrow stuff and beat down stuff and whatever. So why can't we be neighborly? No. Why about taking care of nature? No. How about freeing people who are enslaved? No. We just take people and we just kidnap them and torture them. Why are you kidnapping them and torturing them? I don't know. Just see if we can do it because we're predator. That's the mindset. So when you understand the mindset, and I'm going to go any further into that, I wasn't going to go further, but for the sake of time, I need to summarize. You need to understand, when you deal with a predator mindset, whatever that mindset is, that ravening wolf mindset, you have to understand that you're in trouble, because the mindset is not going to change. And just in case somebody says, oh Lord, you're just saying that, the mindset does change. Yeah, if it find Christ, but until it find Christ, you got to protect yourself. You got to act as all the judicial system act. You got to understand that. So when a con man gets you, he's going to rip you off of everything you can. And the problem is many of the pastors are con men. And they're just ripping off their members and abusing them and lying to them. They don't care. They'll tell them whatever lie as long as the money keep coming. And no matter what destruction happening, they don't care because they're destructive in their thinking. They're all about ravening the prey. So he cannot make treaty. They don't make treaties. They can't do agreements because all of that is a ploy just to kill and destroy. And literally, that's what we see. It can't be neighborly because it's not about being neighborly. Christianity is perverted in their hands because they're predators. A predator and Christ go differently. Christ see the poor, the weak, the fatherless, the widow, the stranger, and he blessed them. The predator, oh, I'm going to rob them. So Christianity is the antichrist, the anti-Christianity. Even though they say they have churches and they go to church and do things, until that mindset breaks and they give that mindset to Jesus, that mindset will consistently happen all the way to the end of time. And we need to understand the end. Christ says, in the days of these kings, then he comes. So that mindset will always, we have to exist in that mindset. So that's why we have to learn to cry out for deliverance, because we're going to always live with that mindset. Let us pray. Oh, Father, what in heaven, I thank you for the blessings of your word and for the blessings of this day. May you bless us, dear Lord, and may we truly know, dear Lord, learn to look up, because our salvation is always there because you're God that saved us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live tomorrow morning, where we should talk about wisdom for living. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.